Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues each and every day. Let me remind you, you have heard it before if you've been tuned in, perhaps for our new listeners out there, we need to remind you that this is a Q&A format broadcast. That means that you can call in, ask your questions, join in with the dialogue and discussion on the issue each and every day. We invite those telephone calls. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts, your position on the issue of the day? We'll be talking about today, government-sponsored sin. Government-sponsored sin. Why, that sounds like it'd be anything different than what we would have thought. Somehow, some way, we think that, well, how can government sponsor sin? Well, it's doing it each and every day, ladies and gentlemen. When you study Romans, the 13th chapter, and you discover that God created civil government, and he did so to protect the godly and to prosecute the godless. And yet we find that totally reversed. It goes back to the Old Testament text in Isaiah 5 and verse 20. It's on the right page, the right column in my Bible. And in Isaiah 5:20, it talks about the fact that there'll come a day, and I'm going to paraphrase for you edification, there'll come a day when good will be called bad, bad will be called good. And that's where we are today in our society. And so I'm calling it today, government-sponsored sin. What do you see? What do you recognize that is government sponsoring sin? We've got a whole litany of those things we'll discuss today. We'll look at them, talk about them, and invite you to call in and join in the dialogue and discussion. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's called the Bible. It's the truth book. Ladies and gentlemen, if we do not have the Bible, there'd be no foundation for truth. Had it not been for our founding fathers and the founding documents, based on the authority of Scripture, we'd not have any laws today that would have any fundamental foundation. In fact, you can go back to all of the laws in our nation, the fundamental laws. I'm not talking about these fiat laws that have come up with now that says that you can murder a baby boy of abortion and it's legal. I'm not talking about the fiat issues and those things that are called opinions of the U.S. Supreme Court. But I'm talking about the fundamental laws. Why do we prosecute people because of murder? Because the Bible says, thou shall not kill. And I could go on and on. We have the Ten Commandments. Out of the Ten Commandments flow all of our fundamental foundational laws in America. So as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. In John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, he makes a statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. And further, he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that ought to be the fundamental foundation of what we do in our nation, and especially, hear me, especially when it comes to government. Whether it's local government, state government, or federal government, it should be based on truth. But Trey Gowdy discovered a number of years ago the reason he chose not to run for re-election. He said, when I went to Washington, I thought it was because of a search for truth. He was familiar with the prosecutorial process in the court of law, where you're searching for truth, as he placed it. I question even that. But he said when he got to Washington, he discovered that it was not a matter of searching for truth. It was a matter of seeing who could arm wrestle the most and become the winners in perpetrating lies. And I find that to be so factually correct today on just about every issue that we're faced with in our nation today. We'll talk about today during the course of this broadcast. We'll talk about the new executive order by our governor, Governor DeSantis, about some of the textbooks out of our math textbooks. I've about 120 some odd books, 54 of them were chosen to be removed, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about what is happening with the Biden administration and the push to inoculate, to vaccinate the whole world. He's not satisfied with killing off hundreds of thousands in America with the false shot, the COVID vax, that's a killer vaccination. He wants to vaccinate the entire world now. We'll talk about that today. We'll be talking about what's happening in our schools with the morals and the ethics and the values being tossed out. And at the same time, Jesus cannot be mentioned. Prayer cannot be had. The Bible cannot be in a public classroom. We're talking about today the truth of what the Word of God says. Thy Word is truth. That's the focus that we ought to have on what we do and say and how we view things. But ladies and gentlemen, truth is not sought today. Truth is not honored today. Truth is not the focus of what is sought in civil government or any other parts, and sometimes not even sought in pulpits in our nation's churches today. It was George Orwell, the secularist, a number of years ago, back in about the late 1940s, 47, 48, 49, when George Orwell was producing the dystopian novel that was entitled 1984. Orwell made this statement: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be explicitly true today. We find that to be factual today. There seems to be no value in truth. There seems to be no one seeking for truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made the statement, and I have appreciated his statement so very much. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. And defend the truth even to death. And this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, is designed around the position of defending the truth. Defending the truth. I believe, and I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, as Amos says in the little book of Amos, chapter 7, verse 14, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I believe we're going to see a day in the very near future in our nation and around the globe where more and more there will be the coming down against those that will tell the truth, especially if it is gospel truth, the truth of the Word of God. This is the reason we find so many denominations today, all of the mainline denominations embracing anything that is a skewed truth or a lack of truth in order to fill the pews with what I call numbers, nickels, and noses, rather than standing on the truth, the Word of God. But this 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, says, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how can I find that? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, so that the employees can worship in the house of God with the people of God as God ordained it for our families to be able to worship together. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does with placing you in the family of Tools for Time. Toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you have heard the news. It's good news. I don't know if you've read any articles about it. I've got several articles that I'll just touch on in relationship to what just took place in the state of Florida with our governor's signature. Here's an article that says, Florida rejects 54 math books saying some contain critical race theory. The Education Department, Richard Corcoran, by the way, is the Commissioner of Education. The state, Florida State Education Department said 28 of the books were rejected specifically because it incorporated prohibited topics, including critical race theory. Florida Education Department just rejected 54 math books last week, claiming some of the texts referred to critical race theory, known as CRT, which is prohibited in the state of Florida. In a statement released Friday, the Department of Education said it rejected 54 out of the 132 math textbooks it reviewed, or if you would put it in a percentage, 41% of the books. The highest number of books rejected were from grades levels kindergarten through five, where an alarming 71%, hear this, an alarming 71% were not appropriately aligned with Florida standards or included prohibited topics or unsolicited strategies, according to the statement. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for what Ron DeSantis has done. I'm thankful for his decision and the Commissioner of Education, Richard Corcoran, for their position and their stand on pulling 54 of these textbooks out of the Florida classrooms due to containing materials that were harmful for our children. Ladies and gentlemen, our tax money should not be used to indoctrinate or to brainwash or to in some way re-educate our children beyond the realm of what's supposed to be done in the classroom. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to jump in at any place and any time on this dialogue and discussion today, feel free to do so. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. What is your take on what Governor DeSantis has done with these textbooks? Do you believe that it's honorable? Do you believe it is right? Should he have done that? Did he have the authority to do it? Are you against it? Are you for it? What is your position? Well, I believe we need to hear from parents today in relation and grandparents in relationship to what you think is taking place across the nation and here in the state of Florida. But I'm thankful in the state of Florida, at least we have a governor that is tough enough to take a stand. And I believe that's what it takes, is to take the stand against the system that wanted to brainwash and influence our children, not just with what is in the textbooks with the critical race theory, but all of the positions they're taking with the sodomite LGBTQ agenda to brainwash our children into believing somehow, some way, because of sexual dysphoria, that they should mutilate their bodies and change their sex identity as a result of what is being pushed on a national level. Here's another article about the textbooks. Florida education officials reject 54 textbooks for the attempts to indoctrinate our children. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a correct statement. This article further states Florida Department of Education, the Department of Education in every state reviews textbooks regularly, accepting or rejecting them. But new changes to the Florida law have made that process even more challenging, causing more than 40% of the suggested math textbooks be rejected by the state for attempting to indoctrinate our students. The Florida Department of Education sent out a news release on Friday, which noted that 41% of the submitted textbooks were impermissible with either Florida's new standards or contained prohibited topics that most Florida the most in Florida's history are being rejected. That's 54 of the 132 textbooks that have been reviewed. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to see that taking place, but I am concerned to see that so often parents are silent. Somehow, some way, there's a mindset that we'll just put our kids on that yellow school bus, let them haul them off of the morning, bring them back in the afternoon. But I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, ask that child what they're being taught. Look at the review. Look at the textbooks. Ask to read them. Review them. Scrutinize what's being taught in the textbooks. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just in the state of Florida. It's across all state lines where we find the school system, which is a tax-funded, our tax money funding, the brainwashing and the indoctrination of our students on every level. It needs to stop, and it needs to be implementation of that stoppage by the parents. We need to understand what is happening. we need to take a very careful view of what is taking place, ladies and gentlemen, and not just sit in silence. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not just the indoctrination and the inculcation of that which is wrong in the textbooks, in the math textbooks in particular they're speaking of, but it goes across all the subjects in our textbooks. The publishers of the textbooks material are absolutely bought and totally controlled by the leftist agenda to somehow, some way destroy the minds and the hearts and the lives of families and kids and those families with faith, family, and our freedom in America today. Ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ sodomite agenda is now permeating our classrooms. Students are being openly recruited into embracing the sodomite lifestyle. I'm looking at an article that says groomer schools. So what is that? That's where they're taking our kids and grooming them for an agenda, grooming them for a lifestyle, grooming them for that which is sin, and yet it's government-sponsored sin. Let me pause for a moment before I read further in this article. A number of years ago, I heard people saying, well, you know, government cannot embrace something that would be teaching morals and ethics. The government cannot embrace the teaching of subjects that would be considered morals and ethics and values, or Christian values in particular. Ladies and gentlemen, the government today is not just embracing it. It's publishing, publicizing, and allowing the students to be brainwashed and indoctrinated with everything but morals and ethics and values. You wonder why little Johnny can't read. You wonder why little Susie can't write. You wonder why we're the lowest on the totem pole internationally when it comes to academic, the educational process. It's because, ladies and gentlemen, we have ceased to focus on the academia that's to be carried out in the classroom, and it's simply an incubator for change, an incubator for brainwashing and indoctrinating our children. This article headline, Groomer Schools Sued for Pushing Gender Bending and Hiding It from Parents. Dated April the 18th, 2022. The Massachusetts Family Institute has announced a lawsuit on behalf of two families against what a commentary at the PJ Media described as grooming a groomer school, where officials coached, listen, where officials in the school coached children into transgender ideologies while hiding their actions from all of the parents. Further in the article, it states the families are suing for violation of their parental rights stemming from a district policy prohibiting school staff from sharing any information with parents about the students' decorum and relationship as related to gender identity and efforts to promote the identity in the school. In the case of one of the families named in the suit, school officials were, listen, school officials were actively transitioning this family's 11-year-old daughter and 12-year-old son without the parents' knowledge, against the parents' wishes, and without the parents being told, according to the group that studied. The organization said in a statement that school officials were told by the parents not to speak to their children about gender identity, but actively, listen, the school officials told by the parents not to speak to their children about gender identity, but actively dismissed the instructions and not only continued having such conversations. In other words, the parents said to the schools, if you put it in the young blood vernacular, said to the educational arms in the schools, the men and women teaching with the responsibility of academia in the classrooms, told them not to have any instructions about sexual identity and gender identity for the schools. But not only did they have such conversations with their daughter, but began addressing her in the school by an alternative name and pronouns. The school staff members used the girl's real name only when they communicated with the parents, intentionally concealing their affirmation of her gender transition at her school, end quote. Further, the article states, We're seeing this time of concerted effort by school officials across the country. School officials are making decisions about the lives of children that they are not qualified or authorized to make, and doing it without telling the parents, and often even deceiving the parents and lying to them. This is a clear violation of the parents' rights to control the education, health, and upbringing of their own children. And the second family charges the school with violation of the free exercise of religion by infringing on their sincerely held religious beliefs. Let me pause there. Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, as moral, ethical families, we have the right from the religious liberty standpoint and our firmly held beliefs to say to the governmentally controlled schools, you cannot brainwash my child, you cannot indoctrinate my child with those things that are immoral, ungodly, and unholy. And especially, listen, ladies and gentlemen, here's my position. It is government funded, therefore it is the government, our tax money, sponsoring sin for our students in the classrooms. It is government sponsored immorality. This article further states, and I'll go back, the second family charges the school with violating the free exercise of religion by infringing on their sincerely held religious beliefs. Those beliefs and the believers include respect for parental authority, honesty, adherence to church teaching that human beings are created male and female, end quote. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, one of the parents in this suit and the Massachusetts Family Institute that's joining the school with what they're doing and trying to brainwash and indoctrinate the children. One of them says, we're a Christian family. What we teach our sons and our daughters at home ought to be upheld and not trying to destroy or to demean or to change the students' minds when it comes to church teaching about human sexuality, that God created male and female. And it takes away the authority of the parent out of the home and says the parents have no authority to teach their child what they want them to be taught. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about a very serious subject today. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Are you concerned about this issue in our schools today? Have you investigated what's taking place in the local school board? How are we allowing this to be taught in our subjects and educational process? I contend, ladies and gentlemen, that right here in Duval County Public Schools, that the critical race theory is being taught. It's camouflaged with a false terminology. But I believe that it's being taught. I looked at issues and some articles just a few weeks ago and discussing it with a candidate for one of the districts here in the state of Florida for the representative. And I discovered in my research that that was being taught under the guise of another subject here in Duval County. So I challenge parents, read your child's textbooks, analyze that, ask them what they're being taught. Ladies and gentlemen, the sodomite agenda is being taught today in our public schools. Students are being openly recruited into and embracing that sinful, horrible thought of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Here's an article that says, affirming LGBTQ lifestyle is not sacred, it's sinful. That's the headline of an article dated April the 16th. Ladies and gentlemen, a Christian leader in the school has gone from being afraid of what is taking place to actually warning. The promotion of the LGBTQ lifestyle lifestyle choices is sinful, one writer says. Being converted to Christ means to stop living for ourselves and to start living for Him, according to this writer's explanation. And he explained, we have the Bible to learn what we should do and should not do. The Bible tells us about the nature of ourselves, the nature of God, and what pleases Him. It says we are made male and female in the image of God. It says sexual activity is only for marriage, and marriage is only between one man and one woman. To reject these truths and its sacredness is sinful. It's not just choice. It's sinful, this writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need more parents like that. I believe we need more that will take a stand and say that. Have you heard a pastor stand in the pulpit and condemn the sodomite lifestyle called the LGBTQ? Contrarywise, every major denomination in America today, listen, every major mainline denomination in America today, in greater or lesser degree, they have embraced the sodomite lifestyle. They don't call it that, but they call it the LGBTQ lifestyle. The LGBTQ lifestyle is the lifestyle of the homosexual. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, when you go to Genesis, the 19th chapter, you find that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sodomite lifestyle. God rained down fire from heaven and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah and all of the little communities and sent all the plains round about Sodom and Gomorrah. Ladies and gentlemen, that lifestyle is the only lifestyle that you find in the scripture that is so sinful that God destroyed two cities because of it. And yet we're told now by the Biden administration and all of the pimps for the Obama administration that's now working as scabs in the Biden administration that this ought to be the norm for our sons and daughters and our grandkids in the schools. And that simply is not so. It is indoctrinating them with sin. It is the government-sponsored sin that's being taught in our public schools that I believe it's time we stand up, speak up, say, no, we've had enough. We're not doing it. In fact, I read an article just recently that during the course of COVID, homeschooling, Christian homeschooling, and other school approaches were taken during COVID, 2 years of COVID, and it said, the article went on to say that it has not stopped. It continues to increase with the number of students being taught at home in either Christian schools or Christian school circles or private schools at home and not in the public educational arena. And I believe it's time we go back to the basics, ladies and gentlemen, and do so. I'm looking at an article that says, listen carefully, according to the George Barner latest research, only 21% of those who regularly attend evangelical churches have a biblical worldview. One of the contributing causes of this dismal number is the fact that the church has outsourced the education and discipleship of our children to the government-controlled school system, and that is increasingly hostile, talking about the government-controlled school system, that's increasingly hostile to a biblical worldview. Let me pause for a moment. This writer, George Barner, that is the has the most prestigious correct organizational structure for researching religion in America and making a determination on the survey and the analysis of what's happening in our churches and what's happening with evangelicalism, better known broad brush as religion. And George Barner says, ladies and gentlemen, that in this article, he says, our children spend 16,000 hours in classrooms between kindergarten and 12th grade. And 90% of our children from Christian homes invest those hours in government schools. Fortunately, he says, there's a growing awareness of the damage that is being done spiritually, intellectually, and morally for our children. And as a result of that, they're pulling their children out of the public school system. I've called them for 50 years the governmentally controlled schools. We need to recognize the governmentally controlled schools, ladies and gentlemen, has become an incubator for brainwashing and indoctrinating these and past and future generations to simply be the immoral, ungodly, unholy human beings that's being utilized today in the hands of the federal government to force submission and surrender of our moral, ethical rights and responsibilities in our homes. Ladies and gentlemen, I look at another article that says, New Jersey to require second graders to learn about gender identity and climate change. This article further says it's abuse, plain and simple. It's abuse of our children. This article goes further to say, and it's dated April the 8th of this year, but it says in June of 2020, the New Jersey Board of Education approved student learning standards for comprehensive health and physical education with an 8-4 vote. The curriculum is set to go into effect September of this year. The upcoming standards instruct teachers to, quote, describe gender roles, stereotypes, and their potential impact on self and others, and differentiate between sexual orientation and gender identity. Analyzing the influence on peers and family and media, social norms and culture on the expression of gender, sexual orientation, and identity, the public school guidance states. And it goes on to talk about the schools need to advocate for that, and it's the LGBTQ standards published by the LGBTQ agenda and put in our schools. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to have a one-minute top-of-the-hour news break. We'll be right back as we talk about government-sponsored sin.
Mornings with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.